Okay, so in your Bible, Matthew 14, you can just kind of set that aside. We're going to be looking at that at the end of class. And then on your table are a couple different handouts. You'll need one of each. But for now, we're going to be looking at the one that has blanks and says, I am not, and then there's a blank. So you'll want that in front of you. We're going to use that first. In your groups, we're going to do this relatively quickly. We got a little bit of a late start today. Worship was amazing. It just ran a little bit long. I want you to, as a group, with your small group leader, define the word crisis. How would you define the word crisis? I don't want examples of a crisis. I want you to try to define the word crisis, and no fair using the dictionary on your smartphone. define the word crisis, and maybe not so much a big crisis like a 9/11 type crisis, more of how would you define a crisis in your life. So we're just going to talk about that for about 2 minutes. So define a crisis. End of it. Good. Okay. I found a definition that I think is really interesting that I wanted to share. And this was kind of challenging. This is a difficult word to define. There are quite a few different definitions. But this is kind of a psychology definition of crisis. A crisis is a perception or experience of an event or situation as an intolerable difficulty that exceeds the person's current resources and coping mechanisms. So, is that clear as mud? In other words, a crisis is a situation that is beyond your or the person that's involved in it coping skills and ability to handle. Because we all know people who everything is a crisis, and then people who seem to be fine no matter what crazy stuff is going on in their life. So really, a crisis is more defined by you than by the situation. And that's how we're going to look at it today. We're going to be talking about our worries and fears. Not all of our worries and fears are at the crisis level at all, but it kind of provides a framework for how we're going to think about this. How you handle a crisis or a fear or a worry really has more to do with you than about the circumstance. So we're going to approach it from that angle. I have a personal belief about worry and about fear. I think that at the heart of all of our worries and fears is one deep-seated fear, and that is that we aren't enough. I am not enough. I don't have what it takes to cope with this. So I think that is our deepest fear when it comes to worry. So I want you to look at the handout. I need a pencil. Where it says, I am not, and then there's a blank, enough for me to fill in the blank. I want you to think back to, and these will not be shared, by the way, what you're going to write. These will be just for you and God. Think back to the last week or the last month. What are the things that you've worried about? What are the things that spin round and round in your mind? What are the things that maybe keep you up at 3 a.m.? So let me give you some examples of how someone might fill in the blank. I am not patient enough to be a good mom. I am not talented enough to keep this job or to get a job. I am not beautiful enough to keep my marriage together or to get a husband. I am not strong enough to get through this crisis. So I'm going to give you a few minutes just of personal reflection. I'd like you to fill these in with things that you have found yourself worrying about in the last weeks or months. Okay, as you ponder those things, I have news for you. And it might not be exactly the news that you wanted to hear or thought you were going to hear. You aren't. You aren't successful enough. You aren't patient enough. You aren't strong enough. And neither am I. We're not here to build each other up with some kind of self-esteem talk and talk about how great we are. The point is, we aren't enough, but God is enough. God is more than enough to handle any situation that you are going through right now. There's a popular saying, I'm sure you might have even said it, we hear people say it, God will never give you more than you can handle. Who's heard that before? maybe said it before. It's always meant with the best of intentions, like, oh, that's so nice. God will never give you more than you can handle. I think that's baloney. God gives me more than I can handle on a regular basis, so I know that it's not true. When we look at that, and again, I know that it's meant in love. It's not offensive when people say that. But when we look at the key beliefs of the Bible, it doesn't talk about us being great and wonderful people who buck up and are strong enough to handle our life circumstances. That's not what the Bible is saying. I do think there are times that God does give us more than what we can handle, or allow certain circumstances to handle that are more than we can handle, for a reason, because he wants us to lean into him and to rely on him and his strength to handle our life situations. And I want to be clear that God doesn't desire sin, God doesn't sin, God doesn't lead us into that, but he wants us to turn to him for help. Let's see, what else do I want to say about that? Think back to last week, for those of you who are here, that we put something in the something better box. Those were things that we were giving up control over. And what happens is when we worry and we fear and we spin, is we take the things back out of the box and we say, well, I'll just borrow that for a little while, God, just to worry about it. And then you can have it back, but I'm just going to borrow it for a little bit to worry. We don't want to borrow it back from God. We want to keep it there with the control there, and then we can let go of the worries and fears that we have. So I want you to take the markers that are on the table. You just pick one. It doesn't matter what color. And what I want you to do is, with the sentences that you wrote, any of the words before the word enough, I want you to cross out and write, God is more than. God is more than enough to help me be patient to be a good mom. God is more than enough to help me be successful with my job. God is more than enough to keep my marriage together. God is more than enough to get me through this crisis. So whatever it is for you, cross out what your fear is and write, God is more than. God is more than enough. When you're going through situations where you say, oh my gosh, this is just too much for me to handle, then you can think, good, I've just about got it right. But it's not too much for God to handle. All right, we're going to look at Matthew 14, verse 22. And I veered away from the study for this passage a little bit, but this is just such a neat story to look at when it comes to fear. And also, it's a ghost story, just in time for Halloween, so... to share it. So starting at verse 22 in Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll go back and look at some of the verses. This is Jesus, and he's been preaching and teaching to the people, and he's with the disciples now, and the crowds are leaving. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Wow. There's so much great stuff in this story. So the fourth watch of the night is about 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's dark. There's a storm. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Jesus has gone off by himself to pray, so the disciples are on their own, whether they were fishing or whatever they needed to do at that point, and they see a figure coming toward them in the storm and the waves, and they think it's a ghost. They don't even recognize that it's Jesus. So when they realize that it's Jesus walking on the water, performing this miracle, and Peter says, okay, well, if it's you, let me come out too. Now, Peter gets points for bravery. Peter's always the one to kind of stick his foot in it a little bit. He's a little bit foolhardy, but he's brave. He's the kind of the kid going, ooh, pick me, Jesus. I'll come out on the water with you. So let's look at verse 30 again. So Peter calls to him, and Jesus says, okay, you know, come on out. So this is Peter. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. To me, what's so key about this is as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, he was fine. But when he starts to look at the wind and the waves and veers off, immediately he starts to sink. What I like about what Peter did is Peter knew exactly what to do. Lord, save me. He called out to God for help. And Peter gets a lot of credit for that, because how many times don't we? We think we can fix it somehow by doing something on our own, and then, oh yeah, I guess I could have asked God for help on that one. So Peter knew what to do. Lord, save me. He cried out to God for help. And then let's look at verse 31 again. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What I love about what Jesus did is that Jesus doesn't say, okay, well, Peter, you got yourself into this mess, so I think you're going to have to swim back. And he doesn't say, don't worry, Peter, I won't give you more than you can handle. No, he reaches out his hand and pulls him out. And he says to him, why did you doubt? And the way I see that, I think sometimes we look at that as a negative, like kind of shaking his finger at him, like, Peter, why did you doubt? But I don't necessarily see it that way. I see it more as him saying, you didn't need to doubt. You didn't need to doubt. I was right here the whole time. And what I see him saying is, Peter, you aren't enough. When you started relying on yourself, that's when you got into trouble. But I am enough, and I can save you. Whatever fears you wrote down, whatever circumstances you're going through right now, God is right there next to you, ready to take his hand and pull you out. He's saying to you, you don't need to doubt. You don't need to worry. I am enough to handle this. I am bigger than your worries. I'm bigger than your situation or your crisis or your fears. And when I think about Jesus literally reaching out and getting Peter, I think this is the same hands that created the universe, the same hands that keep the stars spinning, the same hands that were nailed to the cross. This is the hand that reached into the crisis situation and pulled Peter out. And that's exactly what God does for you and for me when you call to him for help.